Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. All right, let's get to it here. We're going to talk about something that's really important. When I say important, I'm talking about something that can really destroy our country as we know it. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Agenda 21 or Agenda 47. And Project 2025. Now, you might want to ask yourself that question. What is Project 2025? And is it concerning or something to be concerned about? Now, I'm going to look at this as not a Democrat, not as a Republican, but as an American citizen who's very concerned about some party wanting to take over the United States of America and turn it into a fascist country with dictatorship control of their candidate. I have a true problem with this. So Project 2025, in a nutshell, is where the Republicans, and I'm saying Republicans because that's who it is that wants to do this. So they have put together a plan of action on day one if Donald Trump wins the presidency, or anybody who's going to be the Republican at that moment in time wins, that they will, on day one, sign into order and pass Project 2025 and Agenda 47. So Project 2025 will reshape the four pillars of government. Now, what does this mean? It means that they want to do away with a lot of programs that are federally funded. Those programs would be like the DEA, the FBI, solar and energy, these type of programs. They want to do away with any of these programs that are paid by the federal government. And this would basically subject our country to a lot of different issues because, you know, when it comes to, you know, power and energy, you know, you have these group of individuals who are professionals. They know what they do in their field. They go through education, years of studying this stuff, and they know, like, if we need to be concerned about the environment or if there's going to be some kind of, you know, fossil fuel situation or oil situation, but they don't want, the Republicans don't want this to be in play. Nothing to do with the EPA. This would allow anybody to go out there and drive their vehicles with emissions, smog and anything that could actually possibly cut the atmosphere of the world down, because that's what it would do, is destroy the rest of the world's ozone. But that's not just it. That's just one tip of the iceberg of the federal government. Another thing they want to cut, and they've already put this in play, they've talked about it multiple times, they want to cut federal Social Security. So if you are on Social Security, be warned that if the Republicans win in 2024 of this year, they will, and it's going to happen, folks, they're going to eliminate Social Security. And that means that if you know anybody who is on Social Security, that would be grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, mothers, family members, friends, neighbors, you name it, if you're on Social Security, you might as well say goodbye to your checks, because your money will no longer exist. They're going to seize it, and there will be no more funding being paid. What they truly believe is that individuals can work past the retirement age, that you are capable of going to work at some location, some place, some business, and that there should be no reason for you not to work. Regardless if you are crippled, if you are, totally incapacitated, whatever, they don't care. They believe you can do something as long as you are functioning with a heartbeat. And so with that said, that's why they want to do away with Social Security, because they feel that too many people are on Social Security that should not be on Social Security. Now, that's just one side of the Rubik's Cube. On the other side, we have Medicare. Medicare, which is medical treatments and medical coverage for older individuals. Some people who are younger are on it too, but it's basically a government program to allow you to get medical coverage if you have to have surgery or medications or, you know, it's covered. So once they eliminate Medicare, that means that if you need to go get medical coverage, you're going to have to go through their new program, because they're going to do away with the Obamacare, or what we call the Obamacare, but they're wanting to do away with that, and they want to put in place their own healthcare system to where you will have to go through their medical program. And, you know, there will be no more Medicare, no more Medicaid. you will have to go through the program and they will take some money out of your paycheck or, you know, some kind of checking account or something, but you will pay for it one way or another. Now, that could be anything from a dollar to hundreds of dollars, but they're going to make you pay for it. It's going to happen. In other words, nothing is going to be free any longer. Now, to some people, they may like this. And there are some cruel people out there that would say, hey, I'm all for that, Jerry. I think that they should do away with all these programs. I think people shouldn't get any kind of medical coverage. I think they shouldn't get paid Social Security. You know, this is what they feel like. Maybe it's a good idea to do away with these programs because, well, who the hell needs to be on them, right? But again, I'm really concerned of what's going to happen when it comes to this whole thing. So this is some of the stuff that they want to do. This is not the only thing that they want to accomplish. They want to get rid of the federal government like the FBI. And what they want to do is they want to put in place the military to roam the streets and to be or act as the security for the government. The one and only individual who will have the most power will be the president of the time. So what they're wanting to do is whatever Republican is the president at the time who wins, they want to make that person full control, full power to do whatever they want, basically. And they're also going to put in place something that's on the Project 2025. If you go on there and read it, you can see it, that they want to do something to where people are vetted. You're vetted if you were Democrat and you were voted Democratic. They want to pull you out and you will be punished for being a Democrat. They want you to, they also want to eliminate what is being said as far as you cannot say any kind of wording on the word or title of LGBTQ. You cannot say gay, lesbian, transgender. If you use the terminology anywhere, you are subjected to being fined and detained and even cruelty to punishment on that. So that is what they want to do as far as on their plan of action. 2025, Project 2025. You don't believe me, look this up because this stuff is real. It's not a conspiracy. It's not some kind of, ooh, it was made up on a website that somebody put together. This was put together by the Republicans. The project is going to cost $22 million to do this. And it is ran by the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the most corrupt foundations in the world. And so they are going to run this thing, and they're going to back up these Republicans. And most of the Republicans out there are going to look at this and think this is a really bad idea when it comes down to it. The one thing I can explain to you is this, that when they give Donald Trump, if he was to win, if Donald Trump was to win, they would give him the political power to be over any kind of government. So in other words, there would not be any other government office like the executive branch power, the these different branches of power would be eliminated down to only the president would have control. I know this is scary, isn't it? That if he wants to go to war and wants to take on Ukraine, for example, and decides, hey, let's just go to Ukraine and blow them up, he can do it. and he can do it without any vote from the White from the Senate or from the House. So he can take over and do whatever the hell he wants. Now, do you understand why I am saying that this is very, very scary shit? Because this is not made up stuff. This is real. It's realistic. If you have a chance, go look up the Wikipedia of Project 2025. You can read the whole thing. By the way, there's over 900 pages of this project, and a lot of people just get bored of reading it. But if I were you, I would look through the whole thing. The one thing I can say that Project 2025 was the beginning of, January 6th, when Donald Trump insurrected his followers to commit domestic terrorism on our Capitol in the United States, what did we see? We saw a man who was acting as the president of the United States of America, who lost an election, threw a very serious temper tantrum, and then turned around and decided that if they weren't going to give him what he wanted, that he was going to fight back with bloodshed if he had to. And that it, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. Bloodshed did happen because there were police officers who were killed. And, you know, still to this day, he denies that he did anything to do with that. But, you know, we all know the truth. We all seen it with our own eyes that what Donald Trump was is that he did that because he threw a temper tantrum because he lost the election. There was never any proof that it was stolen or rigged or any of that stuff. So that's what I'm trying to say. You know, Donald Trump did not want Joe Biden to be able to move forward because obviously Donald Trump was embarrassed that he was beaten by Joe Biden because he said, if you remember, when he was at the debate, I think it was the first or second debate, but when he was at the debate, he said, look, if I lose to this guy, and he pointed over to Joe Biden, he said, if I lose to this guy, well, I might as well leave this country because I can't ever face the United States people knowing that it would be an embarrassment that I lost to Joe Biden. Well, Joe Biden won. Donald Trump did not leave the United States of America. Well, he left to Mar-a-Lago, and I guess he felt like Mar-a-Lago was his own little country down there. But, you know, and of course, you know, he did have his own little property down there, Mar-a-Lago. He did take his documents and stole them from the White House and the United States government and took them down there. Didn't want to give them back to the United States government, so he threw a fit. And all this stuff that happened to him is his fault. You know, it's kind of like when you hear or see a criminal who, let's say, got a DUI, for example. You know, once they test them and find that they have been drinking heavily by performing tests, sobriety tests, let's just say. So Donald Trump is like that. He's like one of these individuals who say, why are you doing this to me? Why are you handcuffing me? Why are you putting me in jail? Why are you doing this to me? I did nothing wrong. That's what he is. He denies that he did nothing wrong, but he did do a lot wrong. He broke the law. He committed a lot of felonies. He committed a lot of treasonous acts against America. And even worse, he insurrected his followers to act out as domestic terrorists against our country. I mean, I don't understand why this man is not even locked up himself. I just don't understand that. You know, they know he's guilty. They know he's dangerous. But they let him roam freely. And then, you know, Donald Trump said just over the weekend when he was in Dayton, Ohio, he said in his rally, he said there's going to be bloodshed. Bloodshed. Let there be a bloodbath if he doesn't win. Who says that? Why would somebody say that? Trying to rally up his base to kill American citizens. Why would he say that? Why the fuck would you say that? A presidential candidate does not act like that. A dictator does. A dictator who wants to control the United States and people does that. And his followers are brainwashed. Unfortunately, you're brainwashed, if you're a mega supporter, by the way. You have been brainwashed by this man. You have read, you have listened, you have watched everything that's about Donald Trump and the lies that are being promoted, not only by his followers that are within his own party who are doing his bidding for him, but also Russia. Do you not see how much they love Russia? Donald Trump loves Vladimir Putin. He has a hard-on for Vladimir Putin. The Republican Party in general has a love for Vladimir Putin. And that's why they don't want to support Ukraine, because they support Vladimir Putin. They support Russia. Why would they pass a bill to help Ukraine so they can fight Russia? Why wouldn't they want to pass a bill to help them do that? It's pretty self explanatory. It's pretty much clear, crystal clear. The reason why they don't want to do it is because they have a love for Vladimir Putin. Look at Tucker Carlson, who went over there, interviewed Vladimir Putin just a couple weeks ago, and then started saying that he's such a great guy and that Russia has great grocery stores and subways and blah, blah, blah. Who else does that sound like? And Donald Trump. Donald Trump is another one that said that. I mean, think about it. That's what Donald Trump has done. He likes to promote that Vladimir Putin is such a great guy that he loves him to death. I mean, if you cannot get that through your head and cannot see that what the Republicans want more than anything is for Vladimir Putin to have full control of not only Ukraine, but of NATO, and that's what you guys want. You want him to have control. You want him to do that. It's probably because he, you know, number one, he has a lot of dirt on a lot of these politicians. You know, obviously he does. Obviously they have a very serious love for this guy. And even Donald Trump himself has invited Vladimir Putin to the White House when he was president, and even complimented the man on live television, saying he was such a great guy and that he did not meddle in the 2016 election because he said he didn't, when in fact the federal government said, our own government said, yes, he did, because they had evidence and they had proof that he did. But Donald Trump didn't want to believe his own fucking government. He wanted to believe Vladimir Putin over his own government. But then you look at Project 2025, and you see that, well, they want to get rid of the federal government anyway. So why would he not want to support anything that deals with going against the government? When you want to eliminate the government, it's the best way to do it. And this is going to be a problem. When, in fact, everything is taken away from Americans, once they have their finances taken away, once they have their Social Security, their Medicare, Medicaid taken away, their benefits, you know, all hell's going to break loose. Yeah, all hell will break loose. And that's what they're hoping for, is a disarrayed fighting country within its own country fighting each other in a civil war so they can use their military for a part of that agenda, that Project 2025. Now, Agenda 47 is basically allowing power for Donald Trump to declare martial law. It allows them to implement taking away the Constitution of the United States. And when they do that, it will allow them to use any kind of tactics. If, like, for example, if somebody says the word gay or lesbian or transgender, or you say you hate Donald Trump, all that stuff can be used against you. There will be no court for you. There will be no legal protection. As a matter of fact, you will have to face the price and penalty from Donald Trump and his military. You are a female, get pregnant, you want to have an abortion. Even though your state allows the abortion, when he is president, if he wins, that will no longer exist. In other words, if a woman has an abortion or tries to attempt to have an abortion, she will be arrested, penalized, scrutinized, and even put to death, is what Donald Trump said. You need to pay attention, folks. This shit is real. It's not a conspiracy. It's the true facts. As a matter of fact, they go in depth on a lot of these different shows that I've actually been paying attention to. And I found a couple different audios that kind of explain in depth Project 2025 and Agenda 47. So first and foremost, let's play we're going to do the first thing we're going to do is we'll do the agenda Project 2025 in depth, and here's a lady that talks about it. She's really smart with this, so to pay attention. It's very interesting.
The idea of America may be lost. Last month, this group of far-right leaders, known as Project 2025, released a 920-page manifesto titled Mandate for Leadership, The Conservative Promise. In it, the document's 35 different named authors, united and copyrighted by the Far Right Heritage Foundation, lay out an explicit, comprehensive plan to completely overhaul the U.S. government from the inside out, with the ultimate goal of furthering far-right wedge issues and concentrating as much power as possible in the hands of the president. Project 2025 is touted as the ultimate solution to paving the way for the next conservative administration, which they believe will take power in January 2025. While the entire project mimics the same talking points that Trump has harped on throughout his presidency and current campaign, the leaders of this project make clear that the plan is not dependent on a specific person winning the Republican nomination and ultimately the White House. Instead, it's a blueprint for the next conservative executive, whoever they may be, to push the limits of presidential power so far that they will answer to no one, wreaking havoc on the delicate balance of our three branches of government that have allowed us to function as a democracy for nearly 2.5 centuries. This is the conservative plan to take over the country. Roll the intro. A lot of you like to assume that lawyers universally are millionaires, and while it's true that there are quite a few millionaire lawyers, many of us are just swimming in cesspools of debt that we had to take on to get these degrees in the first place. So it may come as a shock to learn that I am, in fact, in so much debt. On top of that law degree, I also have an undergrad degree and a house, and I've started a business, and I've taken on more credit card debt than I care to admit to. And with rising interest rates and cost of living, that's not a super fun place to be in. I get it. And you, like me, probably wish there was a better solution to pay off your debt. That's where my partner on today's video, PDS Debt, comes in. PDS Debt has customized 0% interest options for anyone struggling with credit cards, personal loans, collections, or medical bills. So stop waiting and sitting on this debt and start saving with your own custom debt saving options from PDS Debt. PDS Debt is giving my viewers a free debt savings analysis just for completing the 30-second. It's a shock to learn that I am, in fact, in so much debt. On top of that, into one low 0% interest monthly payment, this program is for you. So take advantage of PDS Debt's free debt analysis. Launched in April 2022, Project 2025 is the brainchild of the far-right think tank, the Heritage Foundation, which deserves its own entire video for all the shady shit that they've been up to over the last 40-plus years. Project 2025 is systematically building the future of the conservative movement and promoting policy objectives that would have devastating consequences not only in our government, but for every person living in this country. That might sound hyperbolic, but I'm telling you, I cover a lot of batshit stories about conservatives, and this one has me spooked as hell, y'all. Their plan to further these goals has four pillars. Pillar number one is the policy, embodied in that 920-page manifesto they dropped last month. Pillar number two is the personnel database, described as the conservative LinkedIn. The objective of the database is to collect resumes and information for thousands and thousands of conservatives from all walks of life and industries in order to source the best candidates to pack every branch and administrative body in Washington and throughout the states. To ensure that this database of personnel and the chosen warriors who will infiltrate the government at every level are properly prepared to represent the conservative goals set forth in the policy, Project 2025 relies on pillar number three, training. Through an online institute, Project 2025 will prepare the foot soldiers of the conservative agenda to push their policies from day one. And because they've been preparing for years, they will be ready on day one of the new conservative presidency, thanks to pillar number four. Pillar number four is the 180-day playbook, the step-by-step guide for the next conservative president to implement the policies laid out in the manifesto as quickly and systematically as possible in the first 180 days of their term. Through these four pillars, policy, personnel, training, and the playbook, Project 2025 aims to overhaul the entire U.S. government from the inside out, putting in place draconian policies and gutting important government agencies, all in the name of the Constitution and good, white, Christian family values. Let's take each pillar in turn, though we will be spending the bulk of our time on pillar one, the policy, because we have 920 pages to cover, and it is the most fleshed out and horrific part of the plan so far. Project 2025 published their 920-page Mandate for Leadership policy manifesto as a free PDF on their website. I considered getting a physical copy to be able to wave around for you just to see what it looks like printed, but that would require me to give $35 to the Heritage Foundation, so digital will do. That being said, I did not, unfortunately, read 920 pages of this thing, though I don't think it's a bad idea to do so. I did, however, read the first 50 pages of the PDF, including the list of organizers, authors, the introductory note, and the foreword, to get a good flavor of what's going on. And frankly, entire books could be and have been written on some of the batshit theories and doctrines they rely on just in the introduction alone. So we have plenty to dig into. Plus, the work of journalists who have pored over the manifesto at length will help us in our dizzying tour of the policies laid out in this manifesto. So let's get into it. The policy book is divided into five sections. 1. Taking the reins of government. 2. The common defense. 3. The general welfare. 4. The economy. And 5. Independent regulatory agencies. The note at the beginning of the paper, authored by Project 2025 director Paul Danz, a former Trump official, lays out what's at stake. The long march of cultural Marxism through our institutions has come to pass. The federal government is a behemoth, weaponized against American citizens and conservative values, with freedom and liberty under siege as never before. The task at hand to reverse this tide and restore our republic to its original moorings is too great for any one conservative policy shop to spearhead. It requires the collective action of our movement. With the quickening approach of January 2025, we have 2 years and one chance to get it right. The language throughout the policy manifesto and the Project 2025 website is militant, clearly meant to play into the fears and the patriotic duty that far-right constituents feel so strongly, the same militant language that led to the righteous anger of the January 6th insurrection. The report starts with, "We want you. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project is the conservative movement's unified effort to be ready for the next conservative administration to govern at 12 noon, January 20th. 2025. Welcome to the mission. By opening this book, you are now a part of it. Indeed, one set of eyes reading these pages will be those of the 47th President of the United States. And we hope every other reader will join in making the incoming administration a success. And I know this, like, it's not explicitly about Trump, but listen, we all know that man is not reading a 920-page manifesto in the unlikely chance that he does take the White House in January 2025. Get real. But you get the vibe. This is positioned as a mandate, making readers, ostensibly the conservative foot soldiers who'll do their bidding, feel like they're in on a top secret mission, like this is some G.I. Joe mission shit, because the authors know that that is the absolute conservative wet dream, and they're playing into it. The foreword includes a tidy summation of all the conservative wedge issues and talking points that have been flying around over the last few decades, all of which are addressed at length in the document. Look at America under the ruling and cultural elite today. Inflation is ravaging family budgets, drug overdose deaths continue to escalate, and children suffer the toxic normalization of transgenderism, with drag queens and pornography invading their school libraries. Overseas, a totalitarian communist dictatorship in Beijing is engaged in a strategic, cultural and economic cold war against America's interests, values, and people, all while globalist elites in Washington awaken only slowly to that growing threat. Moreover, low-income communities are drowning in addiction and government dependence. Contemporary elites have even repurposed the worst ingredients of 1970s radical chic to build the totalitarian cult known today as the Great Awakening. Most alarming of all, the very moral foundations of our society are in peril. The foreword goes on to list the four broad fronts that the policy mandate will cover. Those are, 1, restore the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children. 2, dismantle the administrative state and return self-governance to the American people. 3, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. 4, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, what our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. And the manifesto goes on to lay out over 920 pages in 5 sections how they plan on furthering those 4 fronts. Chief among the policies promoted in the manifesto are a gutting of the administrative state and furtherance of the unitary executive theory, which we'll get into what those mean, plus anti-globalist and anti-environmentalist policies to protect from infiltration of Chinese culture into American life and continue the flourishing of American commerce, plus draconian anti-LGBTQ+ policies and a centering of religion and the traditional family unit in every aspect of governance. Yeah, it's bleak. Let's get into it. By far the scariest aspect of the policy, and the one getting the most critical commentary, is the absolutist commitment to gutting the administrative state and concentrating power into the hands of the president. The administrative state is sometimes called the fourth branch of government, and there have been debates for centuries as to whether it's constitutional. You know, all those agencies like the EPA, Social Security Agency, HUD, FEMA, the Fed, the Department of Homeland Security? Yeah, all those governmental bodies that manage the administration of day-to-day operation of the country and promulgate regulations for everything from transportation to healthcare to food to clean water, that's the administrative state. It's not technically in the Constitution, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not constitutional. And listen, most law students take an admin law class, and I can tell you right now that shit is dry. I barely could keep my eyes open during that class, so I won't bore you with too much detail, but this issue does take on a new and much more important meaning when you learn what Project 2025 wants to do about it. So here's some admin law 101. Admin law governs the structure, decision processes, and behavior of administrative agencies. Those agencies are created by statute, executive order, or by state constitutions. Admin agencies are also referred to as commissions, boards, authorities, bureaus, offices, departments, divisions, etc. They're created by executive order, meaning when the president says so, or by Congress. Say Congress passes a law saying something is illegal. In that same law, they might say, we also create this new agency, and this agency is tasked with overseeing and implementing this law. For example, the Federal Food and Drug Administration was created by the Pure Food and Drugs Act of 1906 to oversee the implementation of that law. The main functions of administrative agencies are to investigate, make rules, and adjudicate. That's why there's administrative law courts. They're not state or federal courts, they're separate, less formal courts where agencies can conduct hearings and enforce the regulations that they write and promote. Those admin law rulings can be appealed up to state and federal courts, but most of the day-to-day workings of administrative agencies happen within the agencies and their courts. That doesn't mean, however, that there is zero oversight of these agencies. Like I said, said, rulings in the admin law courts can be appealed to state and federal courts. Congress can pass laws like the Administrative Procedure Act to rein in administrative agencies, and Congress also still controls the purse strings. The first federal admin agency was the State Department, created in 1789 when Congress was still chock-a-block full of original framers of the Constitution, I might add, which does back up claims that the administrative bodies are implied in the Constitution. The idea behind creating these agencies, instead of having Congress or the President alone in charge of implementing the laws, because it turns out it takes a lot of work to run a country, and agencies are in charge of creating a lot of regulations. Further, agencies are staffed by subject matter experts, at least in theory. So, for example, the people in the EPA have spent their careers learning about environmental policy and regulation and are therefore much better positioned to implement a law than the lone president or congresspeople. And the Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld the constitutionality of administrative agencies and tends to give a lot of deference to their decisions because they are the subject matter experts. While Congress often creates the agencies, most of them technically fall under the purview of the executive branch, of which the president is the head, because the Constitution vests the power to faithfully execute the laws of the country in the president, in Article 2. Admin agencies do just that. They execute the laws, and they oversee said execution in a way that a single executive couldn't, and also in a way that ensures extensive checks and balances over executive authority. But this is why the president typically appoints heads of all these agencies, because they're technically part of the executive branch. But while the heads of those agencies come and go with the politics of the time, the people operating under them are not tied to politics or a president. And it's a theory that has only been made up in the last few decades. In fact, we have our good old friend Ronald fucking Reagan to blame once again for its proliferation, because of course. The theory came to prominence during Reagan, but really put down roots during the presidency of George W. Bush. Basically, the theory rejects the idea of three equal branches of government put in place to ensure a rigorous system of checks and balances so no one branch becomes too powerful. Instead, the unitary executive theory says, actually, inherent in Article 2 of the Constitution, the president has complete control of the executive branch. So Congress can't create all of these agencies and put power in the hands of agency heads to make decisions. That power is supposed to be concentrated in the hands of the one singular executive. Reagan's lawyers came up with the idea in order to push deregulatory efforts. Bush Jr. used it to lend validity to his exercises of power after 9/11. While Obama expressed a more modest view of presidential power initially, he too exercised authority that circumvented Congress in several policy areas, especially in the deployment of U.S. military forces overseas. And then Trump, of course, came in and was like, hold my Big Mac, let me try this. And he frequently tested the bounds of acceptable exercise of executive power. From Muslim bans to the border to threatening sanctuary cities, he declared over and over that his authority extended to overriding congressional laws and funding authority. As one judge stated in response to Trump's threats against sanctuary cities, the separation of powers acts as a check on tyranny and the concentration of power. If the executive branch can determine policy and then use the power of the purse to mandate compliance with that policy by the state and local governments, all without authorization or even acquiescence of elected legislators, that check against tyranny is forsaken. Trump considered himself and his presidential powers not only beyond the bounds of Congress, but even beyond the bounds of judicial review, arguing that his travel ban was unreviewable by the federal courts. The judge in that case declared, there is no precedent to support this claimed unreviewability, which runs contrary to the fundamental structure of our constitutional democracy. Even scholars who are in favor of wide-reaching executive power are appalled at Trump's behavior. John Yoo advocates in favor of the unitary executive theory and famously wrote a memo defending the legality of waterboarding under Bush. But he also wrote a New York Times editorial entitled, Executive Power Run Amok, saying, even I have grave concerns about Mr. Trump's uses of presidential power. Yikes. But it appears that Project 2025 is supporting the idea that the president should constitutionally be entitled to vast levels of control over all administrative agencies, what they do, and who runs and staffs them from the top down, and Congress should have no ability to check that executive authority. Many, many constitutional law scholars argue that this is beyond the bounds of the Constitution, no matter how you look at it. But the first administration of Donald Trump, whether or not there's a second, has already done the damage. As Jeffrey Crouch writes in his 2020 book on the unitary executive theory, yes, there are entire books about this, once precedents have been established for presidents to exercise expansive presidential powers with little pushback, future chief executives will be less likely to feel responsible for dialing them back. And Project 2025 is betting on just that, with its expansive overhaul of every administrative agency in the country. If he does get back in the White House, Trump has made clear that he'll finish what he started, declaring he will find and remove the radicals who have infiltrated the Federal Department of Education, and promising to demolish the deep state.
We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. And we will throw off the sick political class that hates our country.
He plans to do this in part through what's been called Schedule F, a plan that Project 2025 appears to adopt as well. In the waning days of Trump's presidency, he passed an executive order called Creating Schedule F in the Accepted Service. This order removed employment protections from career officials, those who work in government agencies in a non-political, non-appointed position, deeming them Schedule F employees who may be fired at will by the president, presumably if they don't show sufficient loyalty or execute the duties of the agency in the way the president deems necessary, effectively stripping any sort of checks or balances on the president's ability to control federal agencies from the top down. In fact, two former Trump White House aides, Johnny McKenty and Russell Vaught, who were instrumental to Schedule F, are also involved in Project 2025, indicating a continuation of the policy by whatever conservative president next takes the White House. McKenty is quoted as saying, "Our current executive branch was conceived of by liberals for the purpose of promulgating liberal policies. There is no way to make the existing structure function in a conservative."
Michael. In the red corner, we've got Florida Man, the Penguin, this guy, literally the only black Republican in the Senate, and of course, the God Emperor himself, the man who's so confident that he won't even show up for debates, Donald Trump. And in the blue corner, we've got Oprah's... Spearheaded by the Heritage Foundation, Project 2025 is a massive 920-page conservative manifesto detailing how they intend to give the president vastly more power, destroy bureaucracy, root out woke propaganda, appoint vetted far-right freedom fighters at every level of government, and have it all ready to implement the day the next conservative president is elected, which they assume will be 2025, hence the name. Despite Trump obviously being the favorite, the plan is not dependent on any particular candidate winning, but can be implemented with any figurehead at the reins, who will become essentially completely unaccountable. God Emperor was supposed to be a joke, but here we are. You may have seen this book floating around online, The Mandate for Leadership. This is what most people assume Project 2025 to be, but this is actually just one part of a much larger conservative master plan. Project 2025 has four core pillars. First, the policy, as outlined in the 920-page document. This is where all the heinous and frankly disturbing policy proposals live. And don't worry, we'll look at some of those in a bit. Two, the personnel database, which has been described as the conservative LinkedIn, as if LinkedIn wasn't cringe enough already. This will be a repository for conservative resumes from people across all sectors and from all walks of life, to be selected as needed to staff positions in every level of government, at both the federal and state level. Three, training. They've got a new online institute, basically PragerU, but for people who like to wear poorly tailored suits and fantasize about rolling back environmental regulations. This training program will create willing and able soldiers to serve on the front lines in the war on the woke cabal of the deep state. And finally, four, the 180-day playbook, a step-by-step guide for the new conservative emperor to systematically implement the policies listed in the manifesto. Think IKEA assembly instructions, but for fascism. These four pillars are the key components of the project, and taken together, they offer a pretty comprehensive vision for the dystopian future the right hopes to usher in. It's all pretty alarming. But where exactly does this come from? Let's take a look at some of the names behind the project. If you flip through the first pages of the PDF, because, let's be honest, we're not about to give the Heritage Foundation $35, you'll find a list of far-right think tanks, advisory groups, and business and government figures who contributed to the project. Some of the names include Donald Devine, once called by the Washington Post Reagan's terrible swift sword of the civil service for his eagerness to slash spending and fire people. Stephen Moore, the well-known conservative author and right-wing economist, with such credentials as working for the very legitimate Freedom Works and serving as a Fox News contributor. And Peter Navarro, who is notable for being one of just three people who worked with Trump for the duration of his term without being fired. He's also a little bit obsessed with China, having written three truly awful books on the subject: The Coming China Wars, Death by China, and Crouching Tiger. The manifesto credits 35 total authors, as well as dozens of contributors, all with their credentials listed. It's about what you'd expect. A lot of people from the Heritage Foundation, some military goons, a smattering of former Trump officials, extremist economists, and a considerable number of people who have worked in climate, energy, immigration, and legal positions under conservative governments. What you won't see a lot of in the acknowledgments is religious credentials, which you'd think would be important given how much the document leans on Christian language. This should be your first indication that maybe the people who loudly proclaim their faith aren't really all that Christian, and they're just using it to win brownie points among their religious conservative audience. There's actually a lot of overlap here with the topic of our last video on Christian nationalism. These people use religious rhetoric, but a little bit of digging reveals that the God they pray to is not the God of the Bible, but a mythologized vision of America itself. Much like fascists throughout history have relied on a glorious false past to act as a North Star to guide them into the promised land, so too have American fascists wrapped themselves in comforting mythology, proving that what they are doing is not only just, but divinely inspired. When you have a higher power on your side, it's pretty easy to justify horrific acts. Okay, with the brains behind the project out of the way, let's get into the nitty-gritty. What exactly do these people want? What's their end goal? Well, there are four main priorities. In their words, they want to, 1, restore the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children. 2, dismantle the administrative state and return self-governance to the American people. 3, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. And 4, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, what our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. Okay, you can probably already see where some of this is going, but let's start with the boring stuff. The nuts and bolts of manipulating the federal government to serve the right. A lot of this project centers around gutting what's called the administrative state. This is stuff like the EPA, FEMA, HUD, the Fed, stuff like that. The humdrum logistical stuff that nonetheless often plays an important role. Or sometimes not. Looking at you, DHS. There's a lot of this stuff. So much so that it's often called the fourth branch of government, and it deals with the day-to-day operations of the country, everything from transportation to environmental regulations, food and water safety, and so on. Most of these agencies are created when a law is passed that makes people think, there really should be a group of people responsible for making sure food is safe for consumption, or whatever. The government slaps together an elite team of nerds, that is to say, subject matter experts, people who actually know what they're talking about, and there you go, you've got the FDA. The FDA then takes over the task of enforcing whatever regulations they come up with in administrative courts. But this is all really boring. All you need to know is that a lot fewer people die because the FDA exists, and we have fewer polluted rivers and extinct species because the EPA exists. Conservatives don't really like rules in general, especially rules that protect the environment or poor people, so these agencies need to go. It's not good enough that the president can appoint the heads of these admin agencies, for example, Trump appointing a fossil fuel executive to head the EPA. No, conservatives want complete power over everyone in these agencies. Because right now, the subject matter experts at, say, the EPA are not beholden to politics. They just come to work and try to figure out how to protect snails. Or something. Much of the argument here centers around whether these agencies are constitutional. Conservatives like to claim that since the Constitution didn't explicitly say federal agencies like these were part of their master plan, they're government overreach and should be dismantled. Historically, federal courts have disagreed with this assessment, so until now, we can rest assured that our milk has been pasteurized and our water isn't contaminated with lead. But here's the thing with the whole constitutionality argument. Who cares? Most countries around the world scrap their constitutions entirely when the people decide they're no longer relevant or they need to be overhauled. Only the United States has this weird reverence for the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Part of that is due to the relatively short history of the country. The US has only really existed for a couple hundred years. When you look around the world and see some of your peer nations have a couple thousand years of history, you might feel the need to mythologize your past just a little bit to make your...
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it.
Right there. I cannot believe that Donald Trump said that. Well, I can. Here he is. He said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Now, clearly, everybody, you know that this is what Donald Trump was talking about. A bloodbath, meaning that he better win, regardless if you have to lie, cheat, or steal, he better win the election, or his followers are going to rise up again and do a bloodbath, just like what they did on January 6th. You know, it's common sense, folks. I'm sorry, but this is common sense. When you look at the difference in the agenda of Republicans versus Democrats, to me, it's clear. It's clear. It's crystal clear that the Republican Party only has one idea in mind. Number one, they can't even run the House of Representatives. They have taken control of the House of Representatives for, what was it now, about a year and a half, and they can't even put in place any kind of bills because they aren't doing a damn thing. There are so many bills that could have been passed to help our country, but instead, they wanted to make up lies and accusations on Joe Biden and his family, which, by the way, they even had a guy that was in the FBI come up with false information to try to use it to go against Joe Biden, but then was caught doing it. And then, of course, the Republicans couldn't go after Joe Biden because their guy got pinched. And so that failed for the Republicans. And so what did they do? Well, they went after the Homeland Security Secretary, which was, you know, the way for them to go. And that's what they did. They impeached him, which was really stupid. But when that went to the Senate, it was overturned at the Senate. And, of course, you know, he wasn't fully impeached, obviously. But it goes to show you how dumb the Republicans are, that they have nothing else in play to help our country whatsoever. Even though the bills are there for him to, for them to pass, they can't even keep their own party under control. And if they can't keep their own party under control, how the hell are they going to keep America going strong and staying strong and on the right track? It's common sense. It really is common sense. One other thing that really pisses me off is that when I looked at this Project 2025, I really read it in depth. I ain't going to lie to you. 930 pages was very long, but I will say that once you read the information that is there, I mean, it's like reading a nightmare of the end of the world. It's really spooky. And not only that you read that, but just think of it this way. When you read this Project 2025 on Wikipedia, and they have other articles as well written by the Republicans. As a matter of fact, the Republicans even have their own website for it, who is sponsored by the Heritage Foundation. So you can actually download the whole thing. If you download it, you have to pay $35 to the Heritage Foundation. Just an FYI, if you want to spend $35. Number two, once you read the information, you will clearly see that what they want to do day one of 2025, that would be January 20th at 12 o'clock p.m. or 12:01 p.m., let's just say that, they will allow Donald Trump, if he will win, to be the president. And then from that point, the next step is to have him declare martial law. which means there will be no laws, no constitution, military in the streets, and they will go and take control of the American people. From that point, I can guarantee you that they will start going through paperwork and different areas of the government, and they will start to dismantle each part of it. While they are dismantling the government, they will start to put in place their different ideas of trying to round up people and detain them. For example, Democrats. Anybody who's a Democrat, they may not want to see free because they voted against Donald Trump. How dare you vote against Donald Trump, they say. Well, it's easy. They go through. They know that your voting is on record. They round you up, and they put you into a prison for voting for Joe Biden and not Donald Trump. This is their plan, guys. This is what they want to do. They want to go through the process of rounding up many different individuals for many different things. They want to use their own religion as a means to back up their plans to take control of the American people. So if you are a Christian, you know, that's one thing, but this may go a different route, being a Christian. It's going to be what they want on their agenda for their government, for the government of the United States. So it won't be the government of the United States anymore. It'll be the government of Trump. And they can do whatever they want at that point. It will not be up to the states anymore. It will be up to the federal government, with Donald Trump as the dictator, which means that if the states don't want to follow through, then they will have to fight probably. They'll have to fight with each other to regain control of their own state. And I think that'll be impossible when it comes down to it, because you have millions of different military troops out there. And you were to put in place all these, like, hundreds of thousands of troops, and they were to go up against the American people, well, it wouldn't be hard for them to do this. We noticed this when the George Floyd thing happened. You remember when they had the Black Lives Matter and Donald Trump had military in the streets taking over these individuals? And so, you know, he used the military for that purpose, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to do the same thing when it comes to, this thing here. Now, one thing you got to be concerned about is, I believe under George Bush and Barack Obama, they passed a bill called the Indefinite Detention Act, where if they suspect you being a terrorist or anything of that magnitude, they can detain you indefinitely without a trial, without a lawyer, and you can be detained indefinitely forever and not even be told where you're at. Now, that passed, it's still in place, by the way, and so they could use that for their purposes of 2025 project, which I think they will. Because it's sitting right there, so why wouldn't they want to use it? Because it's perfect. And then they have what's called the Real ID Act that passed under George W. Bush. And the Real ID Act means that you have to provide an ID, a picture ID, and you have to identify yourself, and it has a magnetic strip on it. If you look at your driver's license, you probably will see that it has the magnetic strip on it. It has a chip inside of it. And they can actually scan this. They can swipe it or whatever and get your information within a couple seconds. That is their plan of action, is to make every American citizen have one of these things. If it's not a driver's license, then it has to be just a regular picture ID that you obtain from the license bureau. However, they could develop their own type of ID. And I think that's what's coming down the line. I think they're going to put a picture ID together that's going to look like a driver's license. And it's going to have all your information on it, and like your banking information. And not only that, it's going to have your banking information, it's going to have pretty much every bit of your private information is going to be on this ID card. You will have to present this ID card to go grocery shopping, use it for monetary reasonings. You will have to use it for identification purposes. And, you know, all this stuff will take place. And I believe that everybody will have these IDs. Going into the future, I believe it's coming. And if anybody doesn't have an ID that they say you have to get, guess what? You may not be able to buy anything, because that's the only way they can purchase food or anything of that magnitude, is to use an ID that they provide to you. I mean, it's possible. It really is possible. Now, that what I just said is a conspiracy, because we don't know if it's real or not. But this other shit about Project 2025, it's not a conspiracy. It's real. It is real as real gets. So I want you to really research this information as much as possible. I want you to pull it up and read it and read it again and again and highlight it. If you find any information that I have not covered, please message me and let me know what you found, because we need to be really concerned about this this whole thing. And we need to be concerned about what is the Republicans, what's their plan of action, what's their agenda? Because obviously they don't want to work for the American people. Obviously they don't want the American people to know any other information but what they provide. This is a way for them to have control. It's called control factors. That's how they can control the American people, is by doing these type of situations. So, you know, I still have a problem with it. I still have a problem with the way they're planning this stuff. And, yeah, it bothers me. It really does. But there is something that they're up to, and a lot of it's a hush-hush deal. And then there's other stuff that's brought into the public's eye. And one thing I can tell you is that I pray each and every day, and I pray that Donald Trump will be locked up before this election. I pray that he has to go to prison and then has found that he cannot run for president ever again. That's what I pray and hope for, is that to happen, because Donald Trump does not deserve another term. And with his ideas of what he wants to do by controlling the United States government and controlling the American people, and he wants to be given more power that is to overthrow the rest of the government, that's a problem. Americans have died. They have bled. They have sacrificed so much to keep the Constitution intact in America. And the Constitution of the United States is the Bill of Rights, and it's the Bill of understanding rules and regulations. It is everything that we do honestly deserve is this Constitution. And it's so pathetic and so sad that the Republican Party wants to just say, screw that Constitution. Screw it. Let's get rid of it. That's what their plan is. It's really, really scary that if you vote for Donald Trump, if he wins the White House and you are on Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid, say goodbye to your benefits because they are gone. Don't turn around and say, well, they took away my Social Security. And don't blame the Democrats because it's not their fault. Even though the Republicans will try to twist this shit around onto the Democrats, it's not the Democrats' fault. It is clearly the Republicans who are fucking this all up for America. They don't want to pass no bills, like I said before. They don't want to pass the bills that would have lowered prescription drug costs. They don't want to pass a bill that helps the security of our country on the borders because they don't want Joe Biden to look good. And that is what they said. So you have to go and understand that Donald Trump doesn't want them to do a damn thing so that Joe Biden can't get anything done. Now, that is what I call being childish. And honestly, we have to eliminate that shit in order to move forward. Are you tired of our economy where you have to pay higher for groceries and higher for food and shit like that? Well, you're in the same boat as I am. And the only way to eliminate that shit is to eliminate the Republicans, because the Democrats want to lower a lot of shit across the board, and that's including food prices. But guess what? They can't do it because the Republican Congress is failing, and it has failed the American people. I want you to go and look up Project 2025. Look up Agenda 47. Familiarize yourself with it, and then share it with other people as much as you can. Share this audio of this show with as many people as you can, and warn them about what's coming if the Republicans and Donald Trump were to win this year. You've got to be ready, guys. This is the real shit. It's not fake. It's real. And until we wake up, America, I don't know what else to tell you. So we got to figure it out. And we got to say enough is enough for the Republicans. I'm Jerry Williams. Have a good night. Here's Jack Black.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have left.